Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now what shall we do with this text? Shall we be good Lutherans and feel uncomfortable because we stopped reading Paul at Romans chapter 3? And only till verse 28 in chapter 3, not continuing with verse 29 even. Or shall we be, I guess, the good theologians of glory that we are, enjoy the legalism and moralism that we see in this text? God is not mocked, especially pertaining to the other guy. But before we answer, let's look at our text in context and see what we learn from it. Paul, talking to the Christians, or the new Christians in Galatia, Christians from varied backgrounds. Some were of Jewish background, some Hellenists, but mostly they were pagans. In their pagan life, they probably saw themselves as religious, very spiritual. Since they quite often went to the temples of their pagan gods, not only to sacrifice, but to receive wisdom and guidance for their daily lives, including for their sowing and reaping at the temples of the fertility gods. But let's say they had only a priest or shaman and client relationship, or doctor-patient relationship. They had no real relationship with each other as believers in a common God. Their pagan religions and rituals were very individualistic. But now they were church. By the grace of God, through the preaching of His word, they came to faith in Christ. And suddenly they are communion. A community of faith. This must have been quite an adjustment for them. Now they had to give up their selfishness, their self-centeredness, their greed. This was not an easy lesson to learn. Now that you are a Christian, baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, having received the forgiveness of all your sins, now you live in Christ. Oh, but the old Adam must have reared his neck so often. They needed Paul's exhortations in our text. And Paul teaches using the general maxim of sowing and reaping to illustrate the life in Christ, the life of the body of Christ, together in communion. He teaches by illustrating the importance of supporting those who preach and teach the Word of God with all that is needed in their body and life. Exhorts them not to grow weary in doing good to all people, especially if there is never a thank you in return. Especially in times when all the efforts seem to fall on deaf ears or show no effect on the people around you. Yes, it is easy to begin. It is easy to have good intentions. But to persevere in face of opposition, that's hard. Paul catechizes, Paul teaches, encourages not to give up, to continue to share the grace of God that they have received. Learning. The learning process of becoming and being the body of Christ is ongoing for them too. Especially in a very individualistic mindset. But that's not true for us here in America, is it? Or is it? I remember when I took the call to be missionary in western Wyoming, out there in Star Valley, in the Mountain West. You know, I came from a more communal, collective mindset in Africa out to the Wild West. I thought I was prepared. Well, I was at the seminary here, and I was exposed to some individualism here in the Midwest and on Vicarage, but man, was I surprised. Surprised at the rugged individualism out there in the Mountain West. Everyone was for him or herself. And people saw that as the ideal life. It's just a couple of lands, acres of land, a couple of horses and a cabin out there in the woods. That was the life. Every opportunity was taken to be in the national forest, away from people. Now, how do you plant a church in a place like that, where everyone just looks out for him or herself? But they proclaim to be very religious, very spiritual. But it's just a me and God spirituality. Me and God walking together out there in the national forest, in the nature. Me and God along the trout stream. Yes, only by the grace of God. Through non-stop preaching and teaching. And those who came to faith in Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit in word and sacrament had to learn to be church. Had to learn to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Had to learn, yes, you are your brother's keeper. Had to learn to live the life under the cross. So what does this mean for you? You are preparing to go out there in a very individualistic postmodern world and preach the word of God to them. In your congregation, you will be confronted by people that are very individualistic, who are only looking out for themselves. And all around you, there will be people who think they are very spiritual, but have no clue about life in Christ, about the forgiveness in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have no clue how to live the sacrificial life of love as a Christian, because they continually sow to their own flesh, as Paul says. And you are continually tempted by your own flesh to do only what is to your own benefit, to only sow to your own flesh as an individualist. You reap what you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Strong law from Paul. God is not mocked. If you are only concerned with things that please you, that is your flesh, your old Adam, the only thing you will reap is corruption. And Paul names these things of the flesh in chapter 5. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Luther includes greed among these as he talks about this text, as Paul calls us to share everything in this life with those who teach the word of God to us. And as individualists, yes, we stand accused before God What are we to do? Well, pull up your socks and sow to the Spirit. Sow the good seed, so to speak. No. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord. Trust in Him alone for the forgiveness of all your sins. In His name you are forgiven, because you have received the gift of faith and life in Him. Because He is the best seed ever sown, the seed of the woman promised to Eve, the seed of the woman fulfilled in Mary, the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ our Lord, who took all your sowing to your own flesh on Himself, all your sin, especially or the selfishness, paid for it on the cross for you. In baptism, you have received His death and resurrection, His victory over sin and death. And now you are free. You are free in Christ to live as God's child, to live and to serve your neighbor in love. Freedom of the gospel. Where does Luther quote this text? In the Large Catechism concerning the first commandment. The love of God, love to God is expressed in the love towards your neighbor, to be church, to live as brothers and sisters in Christ. In a selfless love that is learned, continually learned and taught in the gospel. Because we need the daily forgiveness. We need to learn to sow to the Spirit there where the Spirit is found, in word and in the Lord's Supper like tomorrow. Because there is forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Therefore, you continually hold the cross of Christ in front of your people so they grow and learn to sow to the Spirit and are kept in the gift of everlasting life in Christ. Do not grow weary in doing good, Paul says. For it may be easy to become a Christian. It may be easy to come to the seminary. It may be easy to receive your first call. But staying faithful to the end is hard. Paul invites us to the place where the strength, the endurance, and faithfulness is to be found. To sow to the Spirit. To stay in the Word, in the gospel of Christ and Him crucified and risen, the word of the cross. There, the Spirit gives you the gifts Paul also proclaimed in the fifth chapter. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are daily renewed in you. Not so much for your benefit, but for the benefit of the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. So let us do good as we have opportunity, Paul says. Not a chore, but as we have opportunity. Opportunity to love our neighbor as ourselves at all times, especially to those in the household of faith, family, brothers and sisters in Christ. So what do we do with this text? We learn in order to teach, to catechize, to teach without growing weary. Because the people out there need you. They might not always like you, but they need you. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for their sins, for their salvation. They need, again, to learn to be members of the body of Christ. So what a privilege it is to sow to the Spirit, to teach them to sow to the Spirit every day in repentance and faith in Christ. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.